Hello, this is Susan Smith Nash, and you're listening to Thoughts on E-Learning. Today we're going to talk about unintentional plagiarism. It could happen to you. Every day, all along and around the globe, a number of online students receive messages that their papers have been flagged by the plagiarism detection program. So it's pretty disturbing. The initial reaction, it tends to be sort of shock and disbelief. Something is terribly wrong. And it's compounded by the fact that there was never any intent to plagiarize. So what happened? There are many things that could have gone wrong. Let's take a look. So there are a lot of varieties of unintentional plagiarism. I've kind of dubbed a few with special names for memory and recall. So let's take a look. Number one is patchwork quilt. After students have completed their online research and they've written their annotations for their bibliographies, it's tempting just to like expand this out and weave it together to create a paper. It's a good idea to use references and outside sources. The problem, though, is that using too many block quotes is that the integrity of the paper can be compromised. What results is something like a patchwork quilt of block quotes, and it could have as much as 90% coming from the block quotes and not from actual work. So that's definitely not good. You should never use more than, say, 15 or 20% of your paper as a block quote. Number two is wikicosis, derived from the word Wikipedia. Wikipedia should never be used as a source in an academic paper. Why? The information is not reliable. It can be incomplete and it can be biased. So it's a good place to start, but it should be only used as a point of departure. Over-reliance on Wikipedia leads to wikicosis, toxic levels of incomplete and inaccurate information derived from Wikipedia. It is easy to spot a paper that has information that has been copied and pasted from Wikipedia. The block of text will have a pale blue background. Link only. This is number three. Some students think it is sufficient to create a list of links at the end of the paper. They may or may not set off their quoted material in block quotes, and they may fail to put quoted phrases or sentences between quotation marks. Unfortunately, this is unintentional. It's just a failure to use the proper kind of quotation marks and punctuation, but it comes across as plagiarism. Four, block paraphrasing. So realizing they can't just copy and paste entire sections of papers, some students simply substitute certain words and they create close to the original paraphrases. This is understandable, but it's not a very good idea, because what's happening is it's copying the structure and the argument of a block, and it's simply doing sort of word substitution rather than using original ideas and thoughts. And a variation of this is to use what I call the encyclopedia article template. Some people turn to encyclopedias for their term papers. It's useful, I suppose, for, again, as a point of departure. But what some people do is they go a little bit too far, and they copy the structure, and they reproduce the argument, and they paraphrase the ideas. They don't give any credit, which is bad. But then what's even worse is that it is not at all intellectually original. So it doesn't have any of the students' ideas or thoughts. And, you know, keep in mind that if you're the learner, you really have the right to try to be able to put out your own ideas out there and have them evaluated. And you have the right to think through this stuff. It's just a big shame whenever you're feeling pressured not to do that and to like say that somebody else's canned stuff, in other words, the ideas from an encyclopedia are better. Okay, and the next is Son of Sam. Okay, not really. It's Sun and Sun of Source. Many blogs, news sources, derive their material from an original source. For example, they may have an Associated Press feed or something like that. It's okay, but the problem is that if you then use the quoted quote, then you have many chances of having changes or corrupted, inaccurate copies made, and so you're really creating and copying all of the original that's there, but also you're also bringing in all of the next generation's problems. So it's really better to go to the original source. How can you do that? Well, try to use journal articles, because they'll have lists at the end that will be references that will show kind of the history of the idea and the provenance. So there are some ways, in the end, if we think about this, that people can unintentionally plagiarize. But then there all are ways where the plagiarism detection program brings up false positives. So keep in mind that that can happen. For example, if you've been working on a peer review and you've posted it in a discussion board, that could pick up, be pinged by the spider and referenced in the report. And you could have a frenemy who's punking you, which is not good, who's decided to upload your paper onto the internet so any possible plagiarism detection device or program will find it and flag it, and you will look like you've copied and pasted that paper from the internet, when in reality it was your paper that was posted onto the internet. Anyway, it's possible that a large percentage of online learners have inadvertently created documents that could be flagged as problematic. It's good to know how those plagiarism programs work, but more than that, it's good to know the pitfalls as well as proper procedures for citing materials in research papers. It's not good to be accused of plagiarism. Even if it's inadvertent or it's an accident, it doesn't feel good. So, thank you for listening. This is Susan Smith Nash, and you've been listening to Thoughts on E-Learning.